Files looked angry but nodded. Ser Granzia turned to Enes Odessen, the senior partner of Valarson & Company.
May we use your equipment?
Of course, Ser Granzia. But I'm afraid that we cannot give Lady Cecilia full credit for the repairable elements of the system until they are released from official custody. I'm sorry, but...
I quite understand. Indeed, it would be unfair. And my client will be satisfied if you keep account of what was impounded. If it should be released and still worth repair, perhaps you will bid on it.
Oh, certainly. Mr. Brynear assures me that at least 60% of the components would be worth working on.
Excellent. Now, it seems to me, Mr. Files, that the discovery of items secreted in the scrubber suggests a motive for Ickland to attempt removal at risk of his life. In fact, it strongly suggests his complicity in some illegal activity, and Captain Serrano's innocence. I would suggest that a search warrant, limited to Ickland's personal items and storage spaces, might prove fruitful.
But... Ser Granzia's hand clamped on her wrist.
It need not inconvenience Lady Cecilia or interfere with her schedule, provided that you act in a timely manner.
Files seemed sapped of energy. Cecilia wondered if Ser Granzia's voice had a hypnotic overlay.
Right. I'll get that done as soon as we've contacted the military.
Before she knew how it happened, Cecilia found herself sitting across a table from Harris Serrano in Dessen's private office, with a tray of hot pastries and a variety of drinks before her. Ser Granzia was still in conference with Mr. Files and Dessen. Dessen's assistant had brought the refreshments and now left them alone. Cecilia watched her captain pour herself a cup of something hot from a fluted pot. The woman had a quality Cecilia had not yet defined but found attractive. She never fidgeted, never seemed divided against herself. Yet she did not seem insensitive. Someone who had read and enjoyed Silvas could not be insensitive.
You may win our wager, milady.
Harris offered the steaming cup to Cecilia, who shook her head.
Circumstances have changed. Perhaps I should withdraw.
No, a wager's a wager. I shall look forward to my lessons on your mechanical horse.
She had an engaging grin, Cecilia decided, which made her look years younger.
I still think the interruption of officialdom makes it unfair. Suppose I exchange honors and let you teach me more about my ship. I'm now convinced my own ignorance is both inconvenient and culpable.
The dark eyes measured her. Cecilia felt suddenly as if she had become a novice rider, facing a stern judge in her first event. Why had a woman with such a gift of command given up her commission? Cecilia could not believe it was anything dishonorable. Not with those eyes. A mistake? A quarrel? She had not seemed quarrelsome so far, even when confronted with Ronnie's rudeness.
If it is your pleasure, then I will be very glad to show you over your ship. But I cannot consider it as your obligation under our wager unless I actually win. And despite the best your legal firm can do, I expect we will be late leaving.
I'm beginning to think this year's season is jinxed. Here I was invited for the opening day. Planned to be early for once, planned to attend the first ball, even. Then Olin got me to court late, and I had young Ronnie foisted on me. And now this. If I'm not careful, I'll break a leg or something and miss hunting altogether.
How long does it last? If it's more than a few days, we should be there for some of it.
The ignorance surprised her again, but she reminded herself that even among her class, not everyone knew much about fox hunting.
The season is just that, a whole season. In this case, a planetary quartile. Ideally, fox hunting is done when it is cool enough so that the horses don't overheat in the long chase, damp enough for hounds to pick up the scent.
Then...
Oh, we'll arrive before it's over, if something else doesn't happen. But it's the opening, the first day, that excitement. You can't understand. You haven't been there. I love it anyway. Wet days and dry. I'm one of the last to leave. It's just different, that's all.
Did you ever do any sailing?
Sailing? You mean on water?
Serrano nodded.
Yes, a little. Bunny has lodges on island groups. I remember sailing little boats, hardly more than float boards, one afternoon. Why?
Because what you describe for hunting reminds me of racing season at my grandparents' place on Lowen. There again, there's a season, a weather pattern that fits the sport, And on the first day, all the boats, from the little sailboards up to square riggers, parade along the coast. Everyone wants to be there.
Did you race sailboats?
A cousin and I did, before we went in the academy. It was a Rick's class, which wouldn't mean anything to you, any more than horse terms do to me. And I crewed on a larger yacht one summer.
And will you do that when you retire? Go back there and sail?
No, m'lady. Lowen is where fleet officers retire. I wouldn't fit in there, and I've no desire to embarrass my family.
I hardly think you'd embarrass anyone. Is it such a disgrace to captain my yacht?
No, not at all. Nothing to do with that, this, at all. Never mind. My retirement plans are far away, and we have a present problem. How to get you to your hunt on time. I'll check with Sirkin and see if we can't cut some corners.
With your concerns for my safety?
Yes, with due concern for your safety. There's another matter, m'lady. It's about your crew.
What? Do you think they're all smugglers? I'm sorry. I am trying to be funny, and it's not working.
No wonder. You've had your schedule disrupted. You've lost a crewman through a dangerous accident. You've nearly been accused of smuggling. And you had to spend several days of uncomfortable travel under emergency restrictions. Frankly, I think you're holding up surprisingly well.
You do?
Yes. Nonetheless, I must bother you about the crew.
Serrano paused to sip from her cup and take a bite of pastry. Cecilia noticed again the dark smudges under her eyes. She picked up a pastry herself and tried it. Leathery compared to those her own cook turned out.
You hired your crew from one employment agency. Who recommended that agency to you?
I hired you from the same agency. What difference does that make?
It's a bit of embarrassment, but they don't send you their best. They admitted that to me when I asked them to forward some new information on the crew.
But I'm a Billinvoe. Surely they wouldn't.
What they said was that you did not need the level of expertise that a large ship did. Their top people go to big shipping and passenger lines, where they have a chance to move up.
I pay very high salaries. That ought to mean something if my name doesn't.
Serrano stared her down. Cecilia felt again the power of that dark gaze.
It means you get greedy incompetence. Except me, of course. I wasn't so much greedy as desperate to get a civilian job. But they did not recommend me for a commercial ship because of my background. The big corporations like to train their people their own way and find a military background a hindrance. You've got a very good navigator in Sirkin. She topped her exams, and I'm very satisfied with her work. But the others, m'lady, looked on your yacht as a cushy berth where they would be well paid for doing little, and your previous captains seem to have concurred.
But everything seemed to run smoothly.
Cecilia tried to remember if she'd ever noticed anything. Not really. As long as she arrived where she wanted to, when she wanted to, she had assumed the ship was fine. It certainly cost enough.
And I had the regular maintenance and inspections. I don't know what more I could have done.
Even as she said it, Cecilia realized how she'd feel if someone said that about a stable in which they boarded their horses. She had had contempt for owners who didn't know, who didn't seem to care, about the details of stable management. Apparently, she had made the same error with her own ship.
You paid for them, you mean? You had to trust your crew because you didn't know yourself what to look for. And I think that for some years you had honest, if less than superb, crew members who did their duties fairly well. A good captain would have been enough to provide the initiative and discipline for crew who were competent but uninspired. But in Masimir Olin, you did not have a good captain. I don't know with any certainty, but I suspect that he was looking for exactly such a ship. A small but fast vessel belonging to someone with no knowledge of ships or space. A vessel whose owner might be expected to visit places closed to commercial trade. You let him choose replacement crew, of course. And when old Titinka had that heart attack, he hired Ickland from the same agency as the rest.
But it's quite reputable. It's the top agency in its field.
Cecilia's mind whirled. She had never thought of herself, independent to the point of eccentricity and with no romantic susceptibilities, as anyone's natural prey. The image of herself as a fat sheep which a wolf might stalk seemed both ridiculous and disgusting.
It is reputable, but no agency is immune from penetration. Where there is blood, the bloodsuckers gather. Where there is wealth...
I know the saying, but I never expected it to apply to me. I'm old, unattached, and intend to remain that way. My money will revert to the family when I die.
You are free transportation for your crew. You pay well enough that they know you must have more. You have everything done by top firms. But I think for Olin, it was the places you could go without comment. The places he wanted to go, which you could take him to.
You had a point to make about the crew?
Yes, I did. I had intended to suggest some replacements of the least effective after your season of hunting. Considering what's happened, I think you have both cause and justification for making some changes now, assuming you don't want to start with me.
Don't be silly. I don't blame you for any of this.
You might well have. Good captains don't let such accidents happen. Anyway, you need a replacement for Ickland. I'm seriously concerned about the entire environmental department, and would suggest you also drop the new juniors, retaining only the survivor of the accident. Mr. Gavin, I believe to be honest, though totally devoid of initiative, and I think he can be salvaged by some good training. Your pilot... Actually, besides his manner, I have no complaint of his performance. But he strongly defended Olin's choice of course in the face of a possible course that would have had you on your schedule. I suspect his complicity. We could do without a pilot. I am licensed for that duty, a separate qualification, and the expense of this refitting would explain your dropping him entirely.
But can we find good crew out here?
Yes. In fact, I've asked Mr. Brynier about that already. As this is a major repair facility, there are always crews coming through. Someone is sick and stays behind. Someone is unhappy and jumps ship. Not that we want that sort. Velarsen and Company and other firms hire these temporaries, and their work records here give us something to go on. Also, there are people who start in refitting who want to work aboard a ship. If they've taken their exams and we interview their supervisors, we can find some good ones. But it's up to you, m'lady.
Exactly what Cecilia didn't want on her ship. She wanted it to function perfectly without her having to make any decisions at all. Just transportation. But of course, there were people who looked at horses as just transportation, and she knew what she thought of them. I've always left it up to my captains. Are you asking me to interview with you, or...
If you wish. It might be helpful to you to understand what I would look for in applicants. But what I meant is that I would not dismiss your employees without gross negligence on their part. You had some input, I assume, in the size of crew when you started out.
Well, to be honest, I took the advice of the employment agency even then. Told them what I had bought and asked them to arrange a crew. I was a fool, wasn't I? Just like the people I've known who've gone broke with racing stables. It just never occurred to me that the same things could happen here, in a simple little yacht.
You had other things to think about, I'm sure. Why don't you come along to some of the interviews at least, and begin to pick up some of the terms? It will impress applicants, and it won't bother me.
Fine, I will. Cecilia would learn every screw and bolt on her ship, the way she had once learned the anatomy of horses, and every piece of leather and metal on her tack. How could she have left herself unguarded like this?
And don't be hard on yourself.
Cecilia blinked. Was the woman a mind reader as well?
Remember, I still don't know anything about horses. Welcome aboard, m'lady.
8 hours late, they would be, undocking. But Harris felt happy anyway. Better a good job than a fast, sloppy one. She had inspected the replacements with Mr. Brynier 6 hours before, and knew the new system was up to spec. Her new environmental team knew what they were doing, and Timmins was rapidly learning. He wanted to keep his job. The disgruntled pilot had complained bitterly about being dumped in the middle of nowhere. Lady Cecilia had finally paid his passage to one of the inner worlds of the system, even though her legal advisor said it wasn't necessary. Lady Cecilia had told her gleefully about the stormy battle going on between Diklos and Sons, the insurance company, and her lawyers. She thought she would get her money back, at the least, and she had convinced the union that Ickland's death was probably due to the bad work done by Diklos. So now Diklos had the union on their backs as well.
Lady Cecilia's staff had boarded an hour ago. Harris had given Bates the staff emergency directives, and he'd taken them without comment. They would soon begin emergency drills, proper drills, and this would be a proper ship.
Thank you, Captain Serrano.